The Motivational Moments podcast is made possible by the generous sponsorship of Prime Information Security, online at www.primeinfosec.com, and with the support of our many subscribers. Thank you. Today's episode of Motivational Moments features audio taken from my Conversations video series at www.motivationalsteps.com/conversations. Hello again, it's Linda Ockwell Jenner here with another Conversations video series, and I'm very lucky to have managed to get on my show someone who I meet once a month on Roger's show. It's called the Mike Farwell Show, and my guest tonight, myself and Steve Bentley, another person, we actually are on this show called the Friday Four Panel with Mike Farwell on Roger's TV, and we have lovely discussions about things in the news, and I haven't yet had a chance to talk to this wonderful guest. His name is David Coon. He's an absolutely sweetheart. I really like him, even though I haven't had a chance to meet him in real life. Hello, David.
Hello, Linda. That's quite the introduction. I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on for a conversation. We've talked about this before. We're finally doing it after a while.
Yeah, I know you're a busy guy, and I've had a really weird couple of months. So, David, I purposely didn't tell people what you do, because I think you've done some wonderful things. You're still doing wonderful things. So if you could tell our viewers and listeners, you know, what kind of things you do for work.
Yeah. So I work in the post-secondary education sector. I work as a stakeholder relations officer for a student union, a student association in the Waterloo region. And essentially what my job is, it sounds really official sometimes, you say stakeholder relations officer. But what I do is I deal with a lot of government relations and external folks. So I help students advocate for things that are important to them. That's essentially what I do. And prior to this job that I'm in now, I used to work in government and politics. So I've been able to take what I've learned doing that for a while and just turn it around to help advocate for students. And again, like I said, things that are important to them.
Yeah. And some of those things must be important to you as well, otherwise you wouldn't be doing this work.
Oh, of course. Of course. It's, you know, advocacy to me has always been very important. Even before I did it as a career, I was active in advocacy for accessibility, for, you know, first for myself as somebody with a physical disability and lived experience, but then as serving on municipal committees, different working groups, and then as a member of the board of directors and board chair of a local organization in Waterloo region called KW Accessibility. And I was on the board for 8 years and chair for 7 of those years.
Wow, that's really, really the kind of work that's important. Question, is it hard advocating for the students with the government? How do you keep it cool?
You know what? I'll say this. I used to be in a very partisan role. The job that I do now requires me to work with everybody. And that is something that I really enjoy. So, you know, regardless of who's in government and regardless of who's in opposition, you know, we still have to talk to people and make our opinions known, whether that's through, you know, what I do for work, but also, you know, as an accessibility advocate as well. It's about, you know, working to for the betterment of people and to make to make a positive difference. And I think, you know, politics can always add an extra layer to that, or multiple layers. But at the end of the day, regardless of who's in power, you still have to speak up and speak out. And that's something that I love to do. And that's why I am where I am.
Oh, I love it. I really love it. I'm not brave enough like you to get into any kind of politics or on the committee for you know, for the government or anything. I was a bit naughty today, though. We all know Dave Snyder. He's my guy, you know, locally where I live. And I love him to bits. Actually, when I went back to school and worked on Cool FM a bit as an intern person, learning the ropes of how to be a motivational speaker, or really how to get to talk to people, Dave Snyder was lovely to me. He was really lovely, and now, as I say, he's one of our counsellors, and I was a bit naughty today. He mentioned about the workmen are filling all the holes in the road and everything, and I says, well, you know, when I moved in 93, we had really lovely roads. And I used to think, oh, Montreal's got the worst roads. And now I think that we've got the worst roads. I said, but I really like you, Dave, and I respect you, because I don't want to have a go at anybody. I want them to know my position and how I feel. You know, where does the money come from for that? But in particular with you, very, very interested in accessibility, in the simple sense that many, many years ago, it started with me when I broke my ankle. And my daughter said, let's go shopping. You'll be more comfortable in a wheelchair. And I found in the women's shops in particular, the clothes racks were so close together, you couldn't get through with a wheelchair. And also if you're pushing a buggy. And so obviously I had to say something to the staff. And obviously, you know, they were very nice and everything. But that was many years ago. But I think it's still the same situation. And one other situation I had with my son, who's got a prosthetic leg due to an accident many years ago, but his prosthetic leg is quite new to him. Our local doctors, who I love dearly, I really love, there's two entrances and both have the you know, the button so the door can open. And in the one entrance, once you're inside, that button didn't work. And so I asked one of the receptionists, you know, why it didn't work. And she said, well, we don't want people coming in and out. We don't know who they are. And I said, this is a doctor's facility, a doctor's surgery. People want to come in and out. And I've noticed recently that button works now. So I do my bit, you know. But what are the difficulties you found in your life with this challenge? You know, you mentioned if public transport goes on strike and stuff like that, but what's your earliest memory of a challenge you may have had, you know, with people not understanding?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's a few, actually. So, and I think I might have written about this on Facebook a while ago, but when I was in elementary school, I remember going through a doorway, or like, yeah, it was a doorway, like in a hallway. And there were kids that squeezed in as I was trying to go through. And I use a wheelchair, and I also use a walker. So I was using my walker at the time. And, you know, it's not exactly small. And so I remember thinking, you know, when I was a kid, why would somebody do that? You know, and then fast forward to, I think this was last year, in an apartment building or somewhere with an elevator, I had a similar issue where I was trying to go into the elevator and there were people trying to squeeze in between my wheelchair and to get by. And so it just brought back that memory from when I was a kid. And again, the thought in my mind at the time was maybe a little more, maybe not as polite as I would have been at 7 or 8 years old. But it was the same thing. Like, why would somebody do that? You see me trying to move through this very small space. Why are you trying to squeeze past. And I think, I don't want to use that and say like everyone's like that, because I've only experienced it really that I can think of twice in my life. And, you know, I'll be 38 years old. So, I mean, I'd say that's pretty good. But it's little things like that that people don't pay attention to. And even, you know, you mentioned the door buttons not working. It's things people don't think about until they need to use them. And then it, you know, it clicks in. And we all have that. I mean, I have that with things that I deal with unrelated to my disability. We all have things that we don't think about all the time until something happens, and then the light bulb goes up and we go, oh yeah, that makes sense. But accessibility is not this insurmountable thing that a lot of people, I think that it is. Because what makes something accessible for me as somebody who uses a wheelchair and a walker is going to benefit so many other people. You know, whether that's someone who's elderly, whether that's a young parent with a stroller, you know, it's just, some of it's just common sense. Like, you think, why wouldn't you do this? Why wouldn't you add in a ramp where you can, as opposed to a step? Because again, most people, depending on what you're doing, a ramp might make things easier. So again, like I said, it's things that people don't think about until they need to deal with it. Or it's things that people just assume it's too hard to fix or to add something to make it easier, and it's really not.
Yeah, or too expensive. It's weird because my son lives in a nice condo. He moved locally. He didn't particularly want to be close to us, but one of my members of my networking organization found him a fabulous place, and I like having him close so I can help if ever, but he's a very independent young man. But he's got a disabled parking spot. Now, he is leasing this to see if he likes it, and then he may buy an apartment. So I don't know whether that's what matters, but at first he had a disabled spot in the front of his building, and then I guess somebody moved into the building opposite, and so they said to our son, we'll have to park at the back now, there's a disabled spot there. Two things with that: today the elevator wasn't working, and so basically, you know, he's carrying stuff and he has to struggle to get his car. That's one, because the elevator's not working. And the second thing was, when he got back from the doctors, somebody without a disabled badge was in his reserved spot. It says reserved. And so my son can be a bit mean because he's not like his mom. And basically he blocked the guy in. And the guy was moving stuff in and out to his cage thingy, not moving in, but just moving stuff in and out of where he stores things. And so Scott walked over and he's obvious he's got a prosthetic leg. And he says, hey, he goes, I've been waiting patiently, but basically, how much longer are you going to be? I've got to get in and take my dog a walk, and I've just got back from an appointment. I'm really tired. And the guy says, oh, maybe 15 minutes. And Scott said, but you're in my reserved parking spot, really, and I want to go in the house. The guy didn't get it. He says, oh, well, I'll take photos, I'll call the police. And the guy said, why do you have to be so nasty? So there's this guy struggling to walk. So anyhow, Scott moved, the guy moved, and then he parked in front of a hydrant, where he says, no parking, fire hydrant. So for me, that's just people being selfish, thoughtless, and all the rest of it. But my son can stick up for himself. He gets really angry.
Well, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. More people should, you know, call things out when they see it. And I mean, yes, there's a way to do it and a way not to do it for some people. But honestly, I can pretty much guarantee that person who made a comment about, you know, what your son said will not forget what happened. And so if that person thinks twice about doing that in the future, then, you know, something positive came out of that.
Yeah. I guess it's a shame, yeah, because like Scott's having problems with his prosthetic. He's due a new one, and the new one's not fitting properly, so they have to do a lot of pushing, pulling, and all of it. And he came back tired and irritable. You know, he's a polite guy. I don't know. It's just weird, isn't it? The other thing I found is instead of parents explaining to their children of the younger age what Scott has instead of a leg, it's don't look at him, don't stare. Come here. And it's a shame because it's like explaining about sex or religion or not being mean to your friends, really. And we don't mind. You know, he doesn't take it to heart, but I think the parents are being a little bit, you know, ignorant in the sense that their children may make fun of people like that in the future, you know, and not know why it happened. But that's little things compared to what you must have been through. So I'm not sure how to ask this question, but how long have you had the use of a wheelchair or a walker, if that's okay to ask?
Yeah, no, it's okay to ask. So I have cerebral palsy and I've had it since birth. So I don't know anything different. So this is my life. This is what I've lived through, and you know, for better or worse. And I'm very fortunate too that some people, there are varying degrees of cerebral palsy. So there are some people that can have it where it's very apparent that they deal with certain things. They have speech issues, or they're very spastic, and so it's very apparent that you know they have a disability. And then you have others that might have CP and you wouldn't even notice. Me, I like to say I'm somewhere kind of in the middle, because obviously using a wheelchair and a walker, it's very clear that I need to use both. But I've been very fortunate that I have not had a lot of spasticity, which is a key characteristic for CP. So my spasticity has been relatively small. It does show up from time to time, particularly if I'm tired or if I'm nervous or if I get agitated. You know, it can come out, but you know, but I'm very fortunate that I've been able to, you know, that I've been able to do what I need to do. And you know, I think some people will look at disability as a negative. Even some people, you know, whether we're talking about people who don't live with disabilities, or even people who do. There are some people who live with disabilities, they can't stand it. They don't like it. And I lived like that for a long time when I was a kid. I wanted to do everything to ignore my disability, because I thought if I did, that other people would, that other people would ignore. But you know, that didn't happen. And so for a long time, I was maybe not the happiest person. Like, I wouldn't say I didn't do things. I did a lot of stuff when I was younger. I was involved in karate. I did wrestling when I was in school. So there was stuff that I did, but it was very much still me wanting to ignore my disability. I didn't want to hang out with other people with disabilities because I thought that it would put a magnifying glass or a spotlight on me. And so for a long time, I just, again, I ignored it. And then something happened. I think something happened when I was 18 years old. Something just clicked. And it was like, okay, this is not all of who I am, but it is part of who I am. And if I don't embrace it, I'm going to have a very miserable life. And so, you know, it's not to say that I never have moments where, you know, it's like, okay, this is a pain in the butt. Because, yeah, like anybody deals with things, it, you know, we all have things we don't like. But I like who I am, and I would not be who I am if it were not for my cerebral palsy. And, you know, I've been able to do a lot of things in my life, not just related to accessibility, but I've run for office multiple times. I've worked in politics, for MPs, MPPs, different things. So that's not because of my disability, but my disability also was not a barrier to me doing that either. And if I could say one thing to anybody at any age, but certainly younger people with disabilities, it wouldn't be to say don't feel what you feel, because we all should feel what we feel, and it's okay. But at the end of the day, don't let anything stop you, including yourself. And again, I think that's not exclusive to disabilities. That's, people tend to get in their own way on a lot of different things. And it's unfortunate, because it stops us from, not to sound like a greeting card or, an after school special, but it stops us from living our best life.
That's true. That is true. And also, I'm guessing when you were quite young and you were trying to ignore the fact that, you were different, if that's okay to say, you are a lovely human, you're amazing, you've done many things that, many people wouldn't even try to do. But how did this affect your parents, your mom in particular? Because moms, we seem to be more, oh my goodness. I mean, when you couldn't accept it and she knew, it must have hurt her so much. And I mean, that's not your fault. I mean, you were a child.
No. And I've talked to, both my parents about this. So my parents split up when I was fairly young. Not because of me, just because of stuff with themselves. And they would acknowledge that too. So I was basically raised by my mom predominantly. But my mom has always been there. She's always been my biggest champion. She would encourage me to do things when I was a kid. And I would sometimes I would say yes, and I would do it. Things like karate or wrestling or, acting in school plays. She was always right there encouraging me. But if I said I didn't want to do something, she didn't push me, And so I think it was, I think that just speaks a lot about who she is as a person, but obviously as a parent. I'm sure she had different expectations for me before I was born. I'm sure my father did too. I know that when I was born, the doctors told my parents that they should be prepared that I would never talk or walk, or that my quality of life would be drastically different. And obviously, yes, I use a wheelchair and I use a walker, but clearly I'm here talking to you today. And
they were wrong. They shouldn't have assumed it. I guess what I meant really is, any parent, even me, if we see our kids unhappy, even as adults, we can't fix it, but we feel inside for them and say, well, I wish this wasn't happening. And in our eldest son's case, I've discovered that even though it's more difficult when you're older to not come to terms with the disability, but to get things to work properly for you, phantom pain in his case, because he's had chronic pain all his life, the phantom pain really is very difficult for him to get rid of. And I just wish it was happening to me. That's kind of why I asked, how your mum felt. But I see you as a very, how can I say this, resilient. Once you, in a way, you accepted that you are normal. You are normal in every way. You just get round a different way. The same as our eldest son. So basically, once you accepted that fact and said to myself, you know, I'm not going to let this, you know, spoil my life and I can do lots of different things. It must have been a relief to your mum to see that you were 101% happy and trying new things. And you've done things that people who don't have any disabilities at all or any health challenges wouldn't even want to do. So I'm very, very proud of you and I'm very proud of our son as well. But basically, you are, in a way, a really good person for people to see, talk to, work with, to say, well, you know, I may have a small problem in my life, but if David can, you know, have a wonderful life, so can I, that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've heard it all, you know, about inspiration. Like my mom used to say that, you're an inspiration. And I get where she's coming from when she says that, because again, she's thinking about it from the perspective of, this is what I was told when David was a baby, and this is what he's done. You know, but at the same time, there are some people that go, well, you're an inspiration. But they look at it and they go, okay, there's a guy in a wheelchair and he's doing this and he's doing that. So it's inspired. I don't look at that as being inspired, because I'm just living my life. Sure, I could sit back and do nothing. I could do that. But what's the point? You know, what's the fun in that? I have a life to live, and you know, is it perfect? No, but nobody has a perfect life. So I'm doing what I can to get there. I don't know if anyone will ever find perfection. You know, I don't know that I'm looking for perfection. I'm just looking to do things that I enjoy. You know, there's a quote, and I'm a big Elvis fan. So I usually attribute this to Elvis because, you know, there's been stuff floating around on the internet. I don't know if Elvis actually said it, but the quote is something like, the key to happiness is someone to love, something to do, and something to look forward to. And whether Elvis said that or not, I don't know, you know, but it's still a good mantra. You know, I think that is the key to happiness. And that's what I'm, you know, that's what I'm chasing.
We all feel down. I feel down sometimes, you know. My husband never feels down. He's a perfect human. But seriously, then I go, but you are so lucky, Lindsay. You can do this, you can do that, you can work, you don't have to work, you go to the salon. I'm in a really good position. And then I think about the people who are not in a good position, and I do my best to help them, probably like you do as well. But it's not just disability, though, that people see as not normal or different. It's immigrants, it's religions. There's so many problems going on in the world today because we can't all see each other as a human being, and we see different things that are really nothing to do with that person. And it's such a shame. So you are, I'm so glad I met you on Mike Falwell's show. You are absolutely lovely. And one day we'll meet for coffee or lunch if ever you can put up with me. But no, basically, it makes me feel better knowing more about you. I still find it difficult to ask people what I am supposed to say in circumstances, because obviously, well, pretty like this. When I was in the wheelchair, I went to a chamber. I'm not going to tell you which chamber. I've been to quite a few. But I noticed more people were talking to the back of me or Dave versus talking to me. And I was looking up at them, and I'm small anyhow. And I found that quite rude, because I am still a person they can talk to, even if they have to sit on a chair and talk to me. So a lot of people don't know how to talk to people in certain situations.
No, I think it's because people get nervous. You know, you mentioned the parents who would shush their child for asking a question, you know, to somebody, why does somebody use a wheelchair? Why Why are they walking with a limp? You know, and I mean, I used to get that when I was a kid and when I was really young, and it would happen quite a bit. You'd get some parents that would shush their children, and then you get others that would come up with these very innocent questions. But at the time, you know, me as a kid, I was like, okay, sometimes I was there for it, and then other times it was like, I don't want to talk to you. Don't ask me stupid questions. And I remember I was going through a mall one day, and this little kid came up to me, and I still think about it to this day because I feel horrible about it. But this little kid came up to me and asked me so innocently, you know, why are you like that? Why are you in a wheelchair? And I told him I fell off the CN Tower. And I, you know, again, it was a little, you know, I wasn't that much older, but the little kid, his eyes probably went as big as you could imagine. And then he ran back to his parents and he fell off the CN Tower. And
You're a superpower.
so I felt horrible after the fact because I thought, yeah, you know, I didn't have to do that. But I was probably having a bad day, and I was probably thinking like, I don't want to have to explain, you know, this. That being said, now, you know, as an adult, I would say I would encourage parents to talk to their kids, to allow their kids to ask questions, or even if they're comfortable enough asking somebody, you know, my son, my daughter has a, can they ask you a question? Ask that, because when you shush them and when you say don't ask that, it creates that, you know, that fear, that anxiety that they're different than I am. I'm going to stay away from them. I got in trouble when I asked about them, so I'm gonna not do that. And I think I don't experience that so much anymore. I think it's because more people are used to seeing people using mobility devices, etc. But it still sometimes it does happen. You know, and that's okay. I think the more people see, the more comfortable they are. And I think we could say that with a lot of things. People coming from other places, people who look different, people who sound different. You know, it's all very important. But one thing, and I just have to say this because this is again something that I think about. So I've run for city council in the past. I've run for school board trustee, and you know, I'll often still have people come up to me from years ago asking me, you know, didn't you run for, and I'll say, yes, I did. You know, I've had people come up to me in the mall. Didn't I see you on Mike Farwell? Yeah, you know, it's very nice. But I remember one day I was going somewhere, I forget where it was, but I heard somebody say to their little girl, he ran for city council or something, and I was just in passing, like I just passed them and they didn't stop me, you know, I wasn't talking, and but I'd heard that and I thought, that is just that's great. And it wasn't, oh, look at that guy in the wheelchair, he ran for city council, and it just made me think, you know, okay, even that, just me being out there, like anybody putting themselves out there. And this is very poignant to talk about it right now because as we're talking, you know, it's the start of the municipal election season. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about elections, and as there is right now, obviously with all the changes happening at the provincial level and the school board level and the regional level. But you know, that's why I keep putting myself out there, because of comments like that, not about me, but just that because when you do something, it does have an impact, you know? So whether I'm talking about myself or you or anybody else, like the things that you do, people recognize it. Us talking on the Mike Farwell show, people recognize that, you know? And whether they like what we say, okay, it's great if they do, but if they don't, if it gets them thinking, then you know that's wonderful. So I think that's what keeps me going, disability or otherwise. And everybody's different, you know. I've always been very, nobody's gonna do this for me, or I have to do it, so I'm gonna do it, right? Some people feel differently. I remember when I did karate, my sensei at the time, his dojo, it was up 3 flights of stairs. And so I would have to walk up the stairs, like he had railings and stuff like that. And I would have spotters, either my mom or him would be there, so I'm not alone. But what he said to me was, you have to learn how to do this because there might come a time when there's no elevator or you don't have somebody to help you, and you need to learn, you know, you need to learn another way to do things. And that stuck with me for 30 or so years, you know, because it was so right. And I think I've carried that with me into so many other things that I do. You know, often people ask me, can I help you with this? And sometimes I say yes, and sometimes I'll say no. And you know, they'll, why? I'm offering to help you. You know, my girlfriend would say, but I'm offering to help you. And you know, when we started dating, and then obviously, you know, we've been seeing each other for about 3 years, and you know, she's learned. She's like, I get it. She gets it. Like, it's not about me not wanting help, but it's me wanting to do what I can do because, you know, I need to do it. And, you know, so.
You have, I'm sorry to say that word again, you've inspired me. I found out such a lot about you. But from this day on, I will always think about you as Superman with the power to jump off the CN Tower, survive, and be so wonderful as you are. And that's probably why nobody comes up to you anymore, because you scared that little boy. I'm joking, I'm joking, I'm joking. Listen, I can't thank you enough for your time. I really, really enjoyed our conversation. You are a force to be reckoned with. I would not like to get on your bad side, but thank you for your time, and it's been a wonderful conversation.